my life and no one else. Where I'm loved. of miracles. So when I
Have you ever listened to the Movement to the Queen podcast? Would you love to be part of a community committed to growth and development through faith, capacity building, and mind transformation? Are you ready to give your all to move from whatever state you are now into a better phase of life? Be a part of something awesome. The Movement with the Queen community is a community dead towards your leading, so in the end, you can lead others. We are all a work in progress. Join us on Facebook and Instagram to the Queen community. Remember, transformation is a passion.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Thank you so much for joining in. All right, welcome, Narcissi. I'm sorry for that. Network has been misbehaving, so I'm trusting that God will give us a very great network tonight so that there will not be any issues or any challenges today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Quickly, I'm going to be introducing myself and then I will introduce my moderator, and thereafter she will come in and we'll start properly. Okay, my name is Queen Sisan, and if it's your first time being a part of any of the Moments with the Queen events or any of the programs that we hold online, we are always about transformation. We are always about mind renewal. And this segment or this season, we are dealing with kingdom perspective to life's issues. And so today we'll be looking at abortion. I founded the Moment to the Queen community in 2018, 2019, thereabouts, because of the Moments to the Queen podcast. So it's very possible that you're currently live. Somebody else might be listening later, maybe many years from today. So you might be listening to this on the Moments with the Queen podcast. If you're just joining in, welcome, welcome. There's always room for more. And the intent is that everybody who encounters this media tool would experience a transformation, and of course, will be better, not just better version of ourselves, but that would actually be more like Jesus Christ, right? Okay. So today I am not going to be doing this alone. I have a moderator who will be working with me. But before I introduce her, I want to be certain that I can be heard. Okay? So please, if you can hear me, just unmute and say I can hear you so that I will know that I still have my I know that I can be heard.
I can hear you.
Okay, great. All right,
I
amazing.
can hear you.
Okay, so joining me. Okay, great. Amazing. All right. Joining me is Miss. All right. Joining in is Miss Victory Atetedaye. She's a Nigerian student who is well known for curiosity and a desire to bring light to the world, both scientifically and spiritually. She's also known for her ability to help students with learning difficulties. She has successfully coached some set of students who have come out with excellent results in their WAEC, and she's currently studying genetics and biotechnology at the University of Calabar. She's a supporter of the Hope Ability Empowerment Initiative, and she specializes in giving hope to people with disabilities. She also belongs to the youth sector of the Gideons International in Nigeria. And she's passionate about learning. She's passionate about creating. She's passionate about giving strength to the weak. She's passionate about winning souls for the kingdom of God. She's also skilled in reading, in writing, and counseling. And all through her movement from one place to another, she has been commended severally for her diligence. And Victory is somebody who I particularly take great interest in. She's going to be co-hosting today's show with me. Today's discussion, more like with me, and I want to assure you that it's going to be amazing. So, over to you now, Victory. From now, it will be myself and Victory changing hands. So, over to you, Victory. Welcome.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. I hope we all had a wonderful day. As Elias said, my name is Victory, and I can see someone with the name Sam here. Please, Sam, can you hear me? Please unmute if you can hear me.
Can hear you, Victory. Good evening.
Yeah, all right, thank you. So, could you please lead us in the opening prayer, a very short one, so we could proceed
Okay.
with today's discussion? Thank you.
In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, we
Amen.
thank you for bringing us together here in this forum medium. We ask for light that will leave this meeting transformed. We ask for your spirit to rest upon this program, that your mind will be spoken, and that no one will live in doubt of what your will is concerning the subject. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you so much for that. God bless you.
Yes.
All right, amazing, super duper amazing. Thank you so much, Victory. Okay, because we actually want to see how we can maximize time and see how we can make the most out of what we have today, I'm going to be going straight up to introducing our panelists. That's what I'm going to call them. Because we're going to be having other persons join us shortly, and they will just maybe be listening, making their contributions. And also, please, Narcissi, do well to report, like, just help us keep the group alive, because there are some persons who are also following via just reading and everything. So we're also going to have people dropping their questions. But we have today on the panelists, amongst people who would be listening to, because we're going to be discussing abortion, we're going to be talking about abortion. So we have three remarkable persons who will be joining us to give their opinions and perspectives about this particular issue. Okay, so I'm going to start first of all with introducing Pastor Samuel Igwedima, who is the head pastor of Dominion City, Kogi State. I don't have a bell. If I had a bell, I'll be ringing it. But it would be great if we could just like give an applause. If it was Zoom, I know that we can do that. But yes, I celebrate you. Thank you so much for being here, sir. And it's just as if Victory was in the spirit, because Victory doesn't know him. But Victory just picked him to lead us in an opening prayer. So amazing. Thank you so much, sir, for honoring this invitation. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much, sir, for being here. We also have with us Dr. Ajanwei Joseph, who is a pediatrician at the Federal Medical Center in Asaba. He's also a member of West African College of Physicians, and he is also currently here with us. So I want us to just say welcome to him. Please, if you're listening, just unmute and say welcome as well. Like I said, there's no bell, so we'll have to make do with this.
Welcome, doctor.
All right. All right, welcome, sir. It's good to have you. Also, we have a fertility nurse. Her name is Ella Emanuela Odia. She's a fertility nurse with the Bridge Clinic Lagos. She's also currently here with us, and it's also very great to have her on this platform as well. Welcome. It's okay to say Nurse Ella. Welcome, Nurse Ella. It's good to have you here. I want to be sure that you can hear me, Mark. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Nurse Ella, can you hear me? Is she here? All right, no problem. I think Victory. Okay, great. All right, so Victory, I'll be letting you take over right now with letting us know what to expect from today's discussion, before we go right on to what this discussion entails. So, Victory, over to you.
Yeah, so as we all know, or for those who do not know, today's discussion is centered on abortion. So the aim of this discussion is to help us see abortion for what it really is. Like, is abortion just what we think it is, or there is more to it, and ways to curb it in our society? Because we can see that abortion is really rampant, and from this discussion you will learn a lot, how you can undo situations that we think are complicated, how we can undo them better. And thanks that we have experienced people with us here, people that are in the medical field that would help us to see things better, both from the medical view and also from the concept of the Bible. Yeah, so we would really learn a lot. And you could still use this opportunity to invite somebody to join this chat. As you listen, God bless you. Thank you.
Yes, on that note, I will drop in the link. Amen. On that note, I'll be dropping the link of this video chat. You can feel free to share it on your status. You can share it to anybody who you know that should be part of this discussion. Maybe there's somebody who has gone through one thing or the other, or is probably going through this whole decision-making process. Is this something that I want to do or something that I do not want to do? Okay, going right on to the discussion so that we can delve into it. I'm going to be sharing the perspective of another doctor shortly. I would say doctor in training, right? Okay, yes, because he isn't certified yet, but he's a medical doctor in training. He's still in school. And while we were flying this whole concept of abortion and talking about it and asking people to share what they think about it, he also shared something that I want to read out, and I would want to hear from, you know, from what does the Bible say about this? What medically, how do we see this? Recently, in the United States, there's been this propagation of a law that abortion should be made legal and everybody should be able to do whatever it is that they want to do. So it's very possible that maybe while you're listening to this, you might be listening to this from even a state where abortion is already legal, you know, and it's totally fine. However, please, eventually, I said something while we were flying this, that don't just come with your head, come with your heart. It's important, because what we're looking out for is not just for you to get knowledge, but it's also so that you can experience transformation. All right. So now this particular post says, outlawing abortion is just a bad idea. I am an old man who is probably already had his last sex, but that doesn't mean I have turned against it. In my mind, sex is the best it gets. It is fun, good exercise, and free. Most importantly, it is life's most spectacular form of intimacy. Think of music, think of poetry, people are going to have sex. We humans love to make love. Of course, sometimes procreation is what it's all about, but that is only sometimes. Most of the time, the main point of sex is joy, communication, passion. Is there something wrong with embracing someone like your life depended on it? Sometimes, in that embrace, by mistake or bad luck or carelessness, we create a fetus. In a desired pregnancy, common sense says that fetus is a wondrous miracle. In an unwanted pregnancy, common sense says that fetus is the equivalent of a bulldozer falling on a couple's head. All my life, I have known the difference between a fetus and a baby. Now I'm being told there is no difference. There's a distortion of words and an error. The foundation of a house is not a beloved home. A 3-month-old fetus is not a baby. Having a kid should not be a surprise assignment from God. Raising a kid is a 21-year project that is going to take up all of the parents' resources. Even then, it might never be finished. Pushing people into parenthood is bad business. Sex is beautiful. God did give it to us. We should not be asking every man and woman, every time they enjoy this gift, to be wagering on a lifelong obligation to raise a child. The abortion alternative comes from our friend, science. It is not the enemy. This is coming from Tom Burton, who is a retired computer programmer. So this is his idea of this. I don't know. I hope I wasn't too fast while I read. I'm going to share this document that I just read. I'm going to share it on the group. However, if you are listening from the podcast platform, apologies, you can join the group. It's always very easy to just search MWTK community on Telegram and you get access to the group. However, if you can just, you know, maybe replay what I have read. So this is a programmer. This is his idea. And it says the abortion alternatives come from our friend science, and it is not the enemy. So amen. We have a doctor in our midst. All right. So Dr. Joe, we're going to be starting with you, please. This is a perspective. I think before we even delve into what our opinion is on this matter, I would like for you to define what abortion is, so we'll know where we are working from. Welcome again, Dr. Joe. It's good to have you here. And yes, I look forward to learning so much from you, sir.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I hope I can be heard. I want to be sure that I'm being heard.
Yes, sir.
I can have a crappy network. Okay, I was struggling to follow you. You read very fast. Some of us are not very fast. But if I understand...
I shared the document on the group, just in case.
Okay, I'll try and look at it. The thing is that you were asking what abortion is. Abortion is a term used for termination of pregnancy. Okay, pregnancy has occurred and is terminated before the child is born. So once a woman has become pregnant and that pregnancy is terminated, you know, that is abortion, especially before 28 weeks of gestation. You know, that 28 weeks of gestation differs from country to country. For instance, in Nigeria, the age at which any child is expected, any baby is expected to survive is 28 weeks. In America, it can be 18 weeks. But in our own definition in Nigeria, it's termination of pregnancy before 28 weeks of gestation. 28 weeks in Nigeria is equivalent to about 7 months. Okay, so anybody that terminates pregnancy before that is termed abortion. I hope I've just tried to give a simplified definition that even non-medics can understand. So simply, pregnancy has occurred. A woman is less than 7 months pregnant, and that pregnancy is terminated. That's abortion. I hope I was.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. So, termination of pregnancy before 28 weeks. Anything according to, like, in Nigeria, it differs from country to country, yes, but in Nigeria, yes, before. So anything before 28 weeks. Okay, so in this post that was just read, this computer programmer is stipulating that there are many reasons why people make out. And of course, sex is a very beautiful thing, and sex is here to stay, and sex will continue till forever, in his terms. Now, he says raising a child is a responsibility that should be properly looked into. You know, like, it's something that you should analyze and properly, so nobody should force you to raise a child. So saying in that regard, he says abortion is a gift from science and is not the enemy. So as a scientist, what do you have to say concerning this? Is abortion from the perspective of having to, of course, manage children all over the place, parents that are not ready to take care of kids, abandoning children all over under the bridge, you know, children that, and every, there are so many reasons why people say they want to abort a child, that they want to abort. So scientifically, what do you have to say about this?
I don't agree with the fellow that abortion comes from science. I don't understand what he means by that. But like I said before, the question should be, when does life start? That should be the question. Okay. And what are the characteristics of a living thing? Okay? So if you can define when life starts, what gives you the right to take somebody's life if he's really alive? And if he's not alive, why not leave him? Because if he's not alive, he should die naturally, right? He will not move. But something that if you leave him and keep him for some time, he will not die. So why do you call it not alive? Okay, so that's the thing. So, and that has been the age-long debate, as in when does life start? That has been the development. I am pro-life. I believe life starts at conception. Conception simply means that a fertile man and a woman had sexual intercourse, and egg and sperm have met, and that has the potential to become a baby. And a baby is life. So you cannot really say now that is not life, that because you've had no plans for it, you will now have the power to take the life. Then the question is, what happens? Does the fetus have a life? So there are a lot of legal and definitions and ethics are surrounding termination of pregnancy. But if you recognize that fetus is a life, then you should also recognize that you don't have the right to terminate the life. If you recognize, if you say that it's not a life, then, but it has characteristics of living things. All right? So you cannot now say that something that has characteristics of living things is not a life. So therein lies the dilemma. People have said, oh, we were not prepared for the baby, all of that. Then that gives us the right to take a life. I'm being heard. So that is the question. Is that fetus? Does it have the capacity to become a baby? Can that fetus live, become a life? And if the answer to this question is yes, then what gives you the right to terminate it simply because you can? So that's the thing. So when you said that agree that it's a life, I'm not saying that people should not have a sexual relationship. That's not the discussion here.
We are discussing, is this these two cells that have become one, do they have capacity of a living thing? And if you agree, which I agree that they have, then it doesn't give you rights to terminate it. Because it also has its own rights. We are shouting our own rights to our bodies. What about the right of the fetus? Unless you say the fetus is not a living thing, then no form of science has ever defined the fetus as not being a living thing. Even cells are living. And in this day and age, cells are alive. Science recognizes that cells are alive. Even bacteria and microorganisms are alive. Okay, we'll get rid of them in the body because they are harmful to us. What now makes you think that an S that has met a Y, both of them have formed an oven, is not alive? Are you aware that right now that science has the capacity of growing an ovum in the lab for more than 2 weeks? They can take a sperm, fertilize it in the lab, and grow it for 2 weeks, and use that particular fetus and implant in a woman's body, and that will become a baby. So if the advance of science has gotten to a point where the natural conception that occurs in the woman's body can now be done in the lab, so what makes you think that that is not a life? So that has been the perspective. Some people believe that as long as it's not on Earth yet and walking around and crawling around, it's not a life. I find that argument very absurd.
Okay.
Life exists as a conglomerate of things that cannot be seen, which are referred to as cells. But it's many cells that make up an organ. Many organs make up a system. Many systems make up a body. So that's the discussion that's ongoing in the scientific community. So science abortion, as it is in all intents and purposes, is not termination of pregnancy willfully just because you don't like the circumstances. That's not what medicine is all about. There are conditions even in our laws that permit medical personnel to terminate a pregnancy. And that becomes a situation of which life is more important. Okay? A fetus is inside the woman's body, but that fetus has the capacity to take the woman's life. The question is...
Okay, no, sir. We'll get to this point.
As well, to terminate that. So that's it. Hello.
All right, sir. I just wanted us to pause on that. Areas where we can actually look into. Yes, I can. We can. I don't know. Can we hear him? Did we hear him? Am I the only person who was able to get Dr. Joe while he spoke, please?
I heard him loud and clear.
Did we
hear? I heard him too.
Right over. Now.
Yes, I was listening.
I was also listening.
Okay, amazing. I don't know. In fact, after Dr. Joe spoke, I'm like, you know how somebody will just there's want to release them. I'm literally staggering, but I stand. I still have questions in this regard. My network is a bit shaky. Can I be heard now?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Joe, for those really important words. Like, I don't know if you missed what Dr. Joe just said. Just wait for the podcast. All right, talking about perspectives that differ, this is also coming from another doctor, and he says that he's pro-choice. And I said, what does it mean? He says it means that women should be able to legally do what they want to do with their bodies, just as men do. And this is what he said. He said, but I think what Dr. Joe has asked is a very profound question. I wish he was listening to this right now. He said, it is not a child, it is an embryo. And then he says, as sperm cells, children too, if we want to call a fetus a child, does it mean that sperm cells are children? You know, and in that regard, we also have questions of people who say, I think Victory is going to handle that, but there's also this question of if you can decide that you want to spill out your sperm, or you wouldn't allow it fertilize, knowing fully well that it carries life, in quotes. Are you not also partaking in abortion? Is that right? Well, we're going to get into that a bit more. So it says the age of viability is different in different countries, which Dr. Joe has mentioned. And it said the status quo in medical practice will always prioritize. Okay, Dr. Joe mentioned that as well. It said the law against abortion is not going to prevent abortions from happening. It is only going to increase unsafe abortions and lead to high rates of maternal mortality. So he's saying that when you are saying that something should not be done, and I know very well that it would always be done, because at the end of the day, this is the option that people see. It's not going to make things better. It's only going to make society, because you're going to have doctors who are now performing this act illegally. When you can, excuse me, just make it legal and everybody is happy. This is another side to it. So I'm going to just allow Nosella to say a few things. Dr. Joe has spoken, and I would like to hear your own perspective to this before we call on Pastor Sam to even tell us what the Bible says about all of this. And then, of course, Nosella, I don't know if I can be heard. My network is really poor, but can I be heard?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so please share your thoughts. Share your thoughts.
Okay, you mean I should share my thoughts on abortion generally?
Yes, on abortion generally, and also Dr. Joe has spoken still on this whole perspective of like this doctor says he's pro-life. Women should be able to do with their bodies what they want to do with their bodies. And making if abortion is not legal, you're just giving room for people to perform illegal acts, because this thing will still happen. It's just like people that are also clamoring for prostitution to also be made legal, that people should decide to do what they want to do, you know. So that's basically, I just want to hear your own perspective before we hear from Pastor Sam.
Okay, so thank you for having me. Thank you for bringing me on to speak here. So a bit of a backstory. So the whole abortion issue in America is all founded on Roe versus Wade, and abortion has actually always been legal, right? So what happened recently was that Roe versus Wade was overturned, which means that the federal, you know, the power to make abortion illegal, make abortion legal or something like that, I don't know exactly what it is, but it was handed back to the states. And so in some states, abortion is legal, and in some other states, abortion is illegal. So, yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. And for what I think as a person, for me, I'm a Christian, I'm spirit-led by the grace of God, and I try my best as much as possible to do things from the perspective of what would God do, or what would Jesus do, or what does God think. So for me personally, I see the whole question of abortion as, I don't really know the word to use, I don't really know what to call it, but it's not something that personally I would do, and it's not something that I would advise anyone to do. For me, the way I see it, I see it as the result of society drifting farther and farther away from God. So the first BC you read, the person that was talking about how sex is something that has always been with man and is always going to continue being with man, you know, he admitted that God gave us sex, right? And yeah, sex is a gift from God. And so I always wonder why this is something that God gave to us. Why is it that we don't actually, you know, listen to God on the way that he asks us to, you know, go about it? I don't know if that makes any sense, because the God that gave us this thing, like him in his infinite wisdom, says, okay, do it in this particular context. Don't do it out here, you know. Don't have sex until you're married, you know. And funny enough, people think that, you know, these laws are restrictive, or these rules or these commands are restrictive. But at the end of the day, if you look very much at it, it's to our own benefit, right? So I really feel like majority of all these conversations we'll be having about, you know, something being legal, something being illegal, women having rights to their own bodies. And yeah, that's what the fight is about women having a right, you know, for their own privacy, to make, you know, their own choices, their own healthcare choices, because these days they call abortion healthcare. So that's what the fight is actually about. So I feel like these conversations would be really moot. They'll be inconsequential if we simply really just lead life the way God wanted us to live life. That's my own view. And then some people would also come and say, okay, what about cases of rape? What about medical, you know, what about like, you know, in cases where the baby's life is threatening the mother's life, you know, they always use, you know, those instances, you know, to talk about this whole thing. And then, like, I don't know, because these things are...
I think Nozella is having network challenges at her end.
Actually, I think she was... I don't want to just, you know, say, okay, this is the way this should be done, this is the way that should be. Exactly. I don't just want to generalize and just speak like that, you know, because it's easy to say something when you have not really, you know, walked in those shoes, or you've not really experienced it. Yes. But the truth is that in these cases, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So yeah, the truth is that for the medical aspects, I did a little bit of research, and from what I saw, what I was able to learn from, there's this page on Instagram, Live Action, and they teach a lot about, you know, abortion and the facts, and not just any twisted, you know, thing that the media may be spreading.
Perspective.
And exactly. And so there was this video I watched where a doctor, a neonatologist, was saying that abortion is never really medically necessary, right? And she was saying that, you know, what they do is that the baby can be pre-born, right? In a case where the baby's life is really affecting the, or maybe if the baby stays longer in, you know, in utero, like in the mom's womb, the baby can, you know, be pre-born, and they cater to the baby outside of the mother's womb, you know, giving both the mother and the baby a fighting chance, right? So if the baby survives, beautiful, all well and good. The baby is safe, the mother is safe. But if the baby doesn't survive, then we know that, okay, we did our best, and it's not like we did this to actually harm this child. I don't know if that makes any sense. But yeah, that was what I saw for the medical cases. And then people also talk about ectopic pregnancies and miscarriages. But the thing is that the treatment for an ectopic pregnancy, okay, maybe if you guys don't know what an ectopic pregnancy is, it is when a fertilized embryo is implants itself outside of the uterus, and that's kind of like a medical emergency. So the treatment for that is not considered abortion. It's not termed an abortion, right? So the method may be similar, but it's not an abortion, because the woman, you know, her body, the thing just happened like that. It's not like she willingly wants to go and kill her child, right? So the baby is not where it's supposed to be, you know? So the treatment for that, the treatment for a miscarriage, that's when a baby just on its own, baby just dies, you know, in the woman's womb. So the treatment for those things are totally, entirely different, you know, from a willful abortion. And then the most testy one of them all, which is rape, you know, I don't think I want to speak on that. So yeah, like, so what I was saying in the beginning was, I was saying that I really do think that as a society, these conversations we will be having, like these conversations we are having now, would not be having them if we really do stick to God's plans for us. I believe that these things we are seeing are a manifestation of the fact that we humans think we know best. We think we know what is good for us. We think we know what is good for our bodies. We think we know what is good for ourselves. We are acting like gods unto our own selves. So that is where I think the problem is coming from. That is the root of the problem for me. Because if you really think about it, when a man and a woman meet each other, or when they have sex or make love or whatever you want to call it, you know that the consequence of that, if you are, you know, ovulating at that time, you know that the consequences of that is pregnancy. So if you know that you're not ready for a pregnancy, you don't want to have a child, why are you going through all that hassle or going through all that stress? Do you expect magic that maybe if you do that, you know, thing, then a baby is not going to result out of it or something? Okay, if you don't want to stay abstinent, protection is there. I don't know if this makes any sense. So
okay, we'll get to I think Victory is going to be talking about the whole coming from, you know, some people see, okay, family planning, what does God say about it and everything.
Okay.
So we're going to be getting into that later. Thank you so much, Ms. Ella. Thank you, because I want to see how we come as much time. Okay, so, right. Okay, Pastor Sam. Remember, I started this with introducing the fact that if you're listening to the Moments with Queen podcast, I always say that we are here because we want to spread what is God saying about a particular matter, irrespective of what society is saying. So if you're listening to this podcast, it's because you want to hear what God has to say and you are satisfied with that. You want to hear the God perspective to life's issues, right? So we're going to be hearing from Pastor Sam. Sir, please, we've said a lot. You've heard a lot. What is that thing that you would want to add for what Dr. Joe has said, what Nurse Ella has said, or subtract, as the case may be?
Oh, wow. Good evening, Queen Sisan. Good evening, everyone on the podcast. Thank you so much for having me once again. Please, I hope you all can hear me clearly.
Yes, we can hear you.
I'm actually using an earpiece. Okay. I'm glad, Queen Sisan, what you asked was what I'll be adding. And really, it's just an addition because I was super excited when I heard the doctor being pro-life, you know, and with all he said, I'm only just going to be pulling out scriptures that affirms or, you know, that stands firm on what he's saying about the issue of abortion. The Bible does not mention the word abortion, actually, but that doesn't mean it is silent on the matter, though. You know, because it has a great deal to say about when life begins. The Bible is clear that the unborn child is a valuable life. I think King David illustrates this most beautifully. If you have your Bibles and you look at Psalm 139, you know, let me just speak from verse 13.
Please help us put this on the group chat. Psalm 139.
Sorry?
What verse, sir, please? What verse? Psalm 139, verse what?
Psalm 139. I'm reading from verse 13 through to verse 16.
Okay,
can I go on now? Psalm 139, from verse 13 to 16.
Yes, sir.
David said, okay, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Please take note of the words. There, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You know, so without the benefit of modern science, you know, ultrasounds, dating methods, OBGYN, NS, you know, etc., David was able to put into words what the human heart instinctively knows. You see, the unborn child is a human life. You know, and of course, David is not alone in this. Job also agrees by saying, your hands shaped me and made me. Will you now turn and destroy me? Now, Job was saying this in Job chapter 10, verse 8 to 12. Let me take it again. Job chapter 10, verse 8 to 12. He said, your hands shaped me and made me. Will you now turn and destroy me? Remember that you molded me like clay. You gave me life and showed me kindness. And in your providence, watched over my spirit. Can you see that? Watched over my spirit. Now, Prophet Jeremiah, you know, writes in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 17. He says, you did not kill me in the womb, so my mother would have been my grave. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5, the writer says, as you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones, in the womb of a woman with child. So you do not know the work of God who makes everything. You know, so sometimes I wonder, you know, how we as humans, just like the last speaker said, you know, it's more like human beings are taking it upon themselves to decide what they are not even aware of. Just paraphrasing what, you know, the last speaker said, the nurse, you know. So in these, you know, in these and other verses in the Bible, you know, it affirms the fact that life and, you know, that life is valuable. Even the unborn children are valuable. You know, I hope I can go on. And please, I hope we don't mind, because since I'm speaking for the kingdom perspective, I'm going to be more of scriptures. Now, the Bible goes even further to explain that the unborn child is valuable because he or she is, you know, has been uniquely created by God. Now, see what Paul declares in Acts chapter 17, verse 25. He said, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Now, David himself was more specific, where we read in Psalm 139, verse 13, when he said, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So, of course, none of these biblical writers, we just, you know, I'm reading for us from the scriptures, you know, presume to speak for science. They had never heard a baby's heartbeat, you know, or, you know, had they even the privilege of seeing an ultrasound. Instead, they spoke from common theological sense. Now, according to the Bible, conception, pregnancy, and birth, they are not distinct stages of life that can be separated to serve our purposes. Instead, they are all part of a continuum of life, beginning at the moment of conception. So that's why, you know, we can read, like in the book of Psalm 51, verse 5, it says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And then that's talking about the womb. And then Psalm 139, verse 13, we've seen that one. Let me read one. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. This is talking about Jesus Christ, the angel talking to Mary. And she said, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. This was even before conception. So you can imagine, God sees life even before conception. Now we're talking about the author of life himself. He does not see life from when science sees life. He sees life before life begins, which is in eternity where he dwells. So how dare mortals that were made by him come to say, when life begins, when the one that created life sees life even from immortality. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, listen to the Bible. It says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest in the room available. Now, this is now talking about in terms of actual life rather than mere potential. So you see, neither size nor distance from the birth canal determines life. God does when he begins the work of creating life. God himself is the one that determines when life begins. Now, not only does God create human life, you know, he's intimately involved in his work. And this is affirmed when the Bible speaks of God knowing specific people in the womb. I've already mentioned that of Jesus Christ. Now, another beautiful example about God knowing about people's lives even before they were formed is Jacob and Esau. If you remember, Esau and Jacob, when their mother was worried with what was going on in her womb, you know, and listen to what the Bible says in Genesis 25. From verse 22 to 27. He said, the babies jostled each other within her. And she said, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And listen to what the Lord said to us. He said, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Of course, the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So you said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So God has a relationship with the child, even before the child is formed. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now look at the words of David, where we read in Psalm 139, verse 16. He said, your eyes saw me unformed, you know, your eyes saw my unformed body. I don't think you heard that. He said, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So it's more like God has our lives and the lives of every unborn child written out. It's like a script. It's like a movie script where the, what do you call him now? The person that writes the script, you know, the producer has the movie. And then he begins to scout for people that will not act the movie. It's not when you get the people that you now start finding out the movie you act. No, the movie comes before the actors. And this is clear in the scripture. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, God who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, set me apart from my mother's womb. John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, verse 15 says he will be great. Now, speaking about John the Baptist, rather, the angel said he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. You know, I don't know which one I will pick and which one I will leave. You know. you know, so
thank so you very much. None of us can
claim to be, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I think the examples are very profound. I think the examples are very profound, and they can actually relate to what we have in this current day. I think linking back to what Nurse Ella was saying, it just shows that we as human beings, when we think about a fetus or an embryo, as the case may be, we don't see into the future because we're very short-sighted. So for us, many times, it's just, we just see just what is physical, forgetting that there's a creator, and the picture is bigger than just the man and the woman that just feels like, you know, something happened, or whether it was rape or as, I don't know. But I think I was able to pick a thing or two from all that you have said. But I just want to throw in the place of rape before I hand over to Victory, and because we have to be done by 9:30. You know, people say God exists, and so God saw that this happened to me, or that this was happening to me in terms of being raped. You know, so what is the kingdom perspective to this particular dimension of hurt? A child that is unwanted, let's say a 13 years old girl was raped, or a 14 years old girl was raped, somebody that probably says in her period way back, or however the story wants to be painted, for you to even be more, you know, something that is really heartbreaking. So are we saying that abortion is never the best choice in this kind of situations, considering that, okay, maybe it wouldn't harm the little girl's life, you know, it's not exactly like she cannot carry the baby and all of that, but this is going to seriously change things for her, because now she's 13 or she's 14 or 15, as the case may be, or even if she's 18, or even if she's an adult. But this is rape. This is like a child that is probably going to consistently remind you of what it is that has ensued, or what it is that happened at a particular day with people that you do not even know. Maybe a thief or a kidnapper or somebody. So in the scripture, because we know that God sees all, does it still justify the fact that if at this particular point in time such a person goes out for an abortion, or You know, it's not good enough an excuse. That's the question, sir. What would God say about that kind of situation? Because that's many times where people lose it. Like, how would you tell me that I was raped and my body was abused and God saw that, and now he's still saying that I should keep this baby that has come like this? So I don't know if you can just say something about that before I call it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Once again, what I will say on this is, come to think about, just look at the life of Christ, Jesus Christ, you know, that went through all he went through, you know, for our redemption, for our salvation. And then now he is our model. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. I believe that once you're born again, once you're saved, and you have your human spirit recreated, which is the life of God in you, there is no situation. Now, I'm saying this knowing fully well that what I'm saying implies that if it happens to me, this is what I should do. The life of God in us is such that we should be able to withstand whatever it is that comes our way and stand in God's, you know, do what God will do in the situation. And the life of Christ is the only thing that enables us to live right, to live for the truth. Apart from the life of Christ, no one will be able to live the life, the truth. Now, why do I have to mention the life of Christ as it involves the situation of rape? Because when we read, for example, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." That goes a long way to say that even that child that was conceived as a result of rape, so long as that child is conceived in that womb, automatically God has taken over the responsibility of being the one that formed the child, because no human forms a child in the womb. Just like when we plant a seed in the ground, we don't make it grow. So the same way, because people have given sperm and egg and yet no child came. So from according to scripture, once the child is being formed now, apart from the fact that even before the child was formed, God already knew the child. But now, while the child is being formed, God is the one that formed the child. And he says, "I knew that child in the womb." Now, kingdom perspective from the scriptures tells us that that child should be born. We don't have the right to terminate that child because, yes, it was a mistake. Yes, it was not planned. Yes, it was, it's an offense. It's painful. You know, it's not something you pre-planned. It's just like armed robbers coming to a house and instead of just stealing, they now rape, and then pregnancy results. It's a very bad situation. But you see, the child that is conceived has to be given the right to life, so long as that conception has taken place. Yeah, the child should be born. In fact, what should even be done? What I would advise is that, you know, for like you mentioned, living to see the child, and it reminds one of the rape, the incident, and that can be taken away from the person. That's why, you know, we have homes. That child can be taken care of by someone else, you know, and then the person that was raped, time heals. Yeah, time heals. Because if you terminate the child, for example, and would you want to live with that, you know, with that, the knowledge of the fact that there's a child that was terminated, you know, I don't know, the guilt alone. People that commit abortion live with guilt. They might not open up they live with guilt. Sometimes things happen and people begin to try to trace back, okay, what could be the cause of this? And trust me, if there had been an issue of rape, thoughts will always go back there. So you don't want to live your life with some entanglements, things that will hold you back in the future. You want to live your life and you know that, I'm free, you know.
All right, thank you very much.
So
that's
my take on it. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much, sir. Thank you so much. Okay, Victory, over to you.
Yeah, so that was really a very wonderful contribution and expansion on how our mindset should be. So right now, we would actually be doing a giveaway, a time giveaway. So the fastest fingers. And first of all, we'll be going for Airtel. The Airtel users should please get ready. The Airtel users, please, if you can hear me, please reply that you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Yeah, is it just two? All right, so
can I hear you?
Yeah, all right, thank you. So for the Airtel users, we're about to do a giveaway, and I will start by calling the first four numbers. The first four numbers. I hope we are ready, Airtel users. Yeah.
Do we have people that use Airtel here?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So the first four numbers are 5, 6, 8, 9.
We can't hear you well. Your distance is breaking.
Oh, sorry. It's probably the network. It's raining here. So I'll probably type.
No, don't type, please. Just call.
All right. I said the first four numbers are 5, 6, 8, 9, followed by 7, 7, 6, 2, then 7, 2, 7, 0. Then lastly, we have 1, 5, 8. Then the last letter is 2.
The last number
is 2. So if you're the one who got it, please signify. Please signify if you're the one who got it. Let's know.
Did anybody get it, or would there be need to call it again?
I think she needs to call it again. I didn't hear her.
Okay, Victory.
Well, all right. So I'll call it again.
Just call it very fast this time.
So I said it's an Airtel giveaway. 5, 5, 6, 6, 8, 8, 9, 9, 7, 7, 7, 7, 6, 6, 2, 2, 7 2 7 0 1 5 8 2. Did we get that?
If nobody got it, means that this card, it's like this card, Yona is not here. Yona is not here. Victory, please call it one more time.
All right. So I'll go for the last time.
I got it.
Who's that, please?
It's Roy.
Oh, all right. Congratulations, lucky you.
Thank you.
Okay, congratulations, Roy. Okay.
Would you love to be part of a community committed to growth and development through faith, capacity building, and mind transformation? Are you ready to give your all to move from whatever state you are now into a better phase of life? Then be a part of something. And also, the Movement with the Queen community is a community dared towards your lifting, so in the end, you can lift others. We are all a work in progress. Join us on Facebook and Instagram at Movement with the Queen community. Remember, transformation is in action.
Victory, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, so please, if you can hear me, please identify. So I'll know if the network is really good.
Talk is fine. I can hear you clearly.
Yeah. All right. So we'll be continuing the discussion we started, and with somebody's view on what abortion is, and the person also has a question. So I'll quickly read through what the person said, and I will send a picture of what the message carries. It says that abortion, from my definition, is the act of engaging in an action that terminates the process of giving birth to a child. It says that we have forms of abortion: withdrawal, contraceptional abortion, miscarriage, wearing of condoms, birth control devices that women place to control pregnancy, etc. So it said, note, irrespective of the forms of abortion, the main reason for the abortion is not to bring a child to this world. So now it says, my question now is this: is it a sin against God? But before you answer, please read below. Taking into consideration this dispensation from scriptures, that she don't have to sleep with a woman first before committing fornication. With this in mind, you can now answer the question. It says that it's questioned that, okay, there are different forms of abortion from his own perspective, that taking of pills, using devices to even prevent the pregnancy from taking place, to him is a form of abortion. So what is your I would like to start from Pastor Samuel. So what is your view on this? Is it a sin against God to use contraceptives, birth control pills?
Okay. By contraceptives you mean using condoms?
Yes.
Because when you're talking about pills now, it's more like after conception, terminating the pregnancy with pills.
No, it's pill prevention.
I don't know if I'm
pills that are taken for prevention, not after conception.
Like prevention before fertilization,
okay,
of
for
egg.
Prevention.
Yes.
Good. Okay, for prevention, right? Okay. You know, from the scriptures we read, you know, I'm glad that I'm speaking for the kingdom now. From the scriptures we read, you hear things like God who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now that's Galatians chapter 1 verse 15, Paul speaking. God who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. So this one has to do with from my mother's womb, which is while the baby is being formed. So so long as a baby is not yet being formed, you know, and then you're using condoms, you're using pills to prevent conception, that's not a sin. That's not a sin. You know, it's just like saying, sperm that is spilled, whether it's killing a child or killing life, you know. So I don't think that is not a sin.
I think it's also part of the question that this person is also
asking.
I don't
know if it's clear. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, please go ahead. I want to be sure that I got the question the person asked.
Yes, you got the question the person is asking, because what the person said, that we have forms of abortion, withdrawal, contraceptional abortion, miscarriage, wearing of condoms, mm-hmm. birth control device. And I said, my question now is this: is it a sin against God that to him, these are forms of abortion to him? But from what you have said, you said so long as a pregnancy is not formed, it is not a sin and it is not abortion.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, let me also add here, because, you know, I said that having married people in view, because scriptures is against fornication. You know, somebody's saying this now because the issue of masturbation comes into play. There's a scripture that talks about spilling sperm. I don't know if I can be able to find that scripture now, where there was this lady that was married, and then the husband died, and then the brother to the husband was asked to marry the lady, was asked rather to bear child for the late brother through the lady. I don't know if you've read that story in the Bible, you know. And in that situation, the young man, when in the process of lovemaking, you know, of intercourse, when he's to ejaculate in her, he spills it out. And the Bible says that the Lord killed him because of that. I don't know if you've come across that scripture in the Bible. I think I'll find it and post it here, you know, and such happened, you know. So you can now see that there are exceptions. I actually cited that story in the Bible to let us know that there are exceptions to the issue of the use of contraceptives. Now, there is a way you use it in sin. You still bear the guilt of fornication, but not abortion.
Yeah.
You get that now. Now, but for yes. a married couple that maybe they are done. In fact, let me use myself as an example. I am married with 3 children, and by the grace of God, we are done having children. So we use contraceptives, and by contraceptives, I mean condom, my wife and I. So you won't term that a sin. You won't term that sin. You know, it's to prevent pregnancy. Actually, condom was made to prevent pregnancy, you know, but the truth of the matter is that it's meant for couples. But of course, now the society now makes it available even for singles so that they don't get pregnant, you know. But you see, it does not. Okay, we're not discussing fornication, so I'm trying my best not to get into, you know, that part. We're just on abortion, so let me stick to the topic. God bless you.
All right, thank you very much. God bless you. That was a very good explanation and clarity. It gave clarity on difference between prevention of pregnancy and abortion of pregnancy. So we move on to Dr. Joseph. Please, are you here with us? Dr. Joseph.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
All right. So please, can you give us your take on this? Like, explain to us your view on this question and what this person thinks about.
Obviously, I just want to say that I think we should just not be sentimental about issues. Birth control and abortion are never the same thing medically. They are not.
Yeah, but very true.
The joining both of them is like joining Lagos and Abuja together. The distance is too much. Okay? When we are talking about birth control, we are trying to prevent conception. Conception has not taken place.
Yeah.
And each of us that are adults have sperms or ovums in our body. Does it make us people that are taking committing abortion because we have those cells in our body? Doesn't necessarily. It's not like that. Birth control talks about preventing the cells from coming together. Like I said before at the beginning, abortion simply means these cells, they have been fertilized. Either in through the natural process or in the lab. This fertilization has occurred already. An ovum is growing in the womb. So when you are terminating something that is already growing before 28 weeks of gestation, that is an abortion. So they have no relationship. I wouldn't know how to begin to, unless for the purpose of teaching, to teach that, oh, birth control is birth control. But birth control and as contraceptives and abortions are never the same thing at all. So I really don't want to go as unless the person wants to learn what they are. I can now begin to discuss what they are. I was talking about the pastor. I talked about it being a sin or whatever. I'm not talking on the religious basis, but I want to make comment on earlier submissions and some obviously the doctor talked about stem cell, talked about it. So people like to join many issues. We're looking at willful termination of pregnancy. Not for medical indications.
Yes, sir.
That's what we're discussing, and I really want to. I like to focus on issues. We're discussing willful termination of pregnancy, not for medical indications. There are occasions where, for instance, I heard somebody say he watched a video, and the two lights can coexist. Yes, if you have the technology to support that.
I'll give you a critical, a very easy example. A woman is 8 weeks gestation. And mind you, before a woman finds out that she's pregnant, most times she has missed her period. And by the time a woman is missing her period, she's already about 8 weeks pregnant. Okay, so most times before a woman recognizes that she's pregnant, she's already 8 weeks, 6 weeks gone. So there's nobody's going to recognize pregnancy that occurred in the first day. So we're looking, discussing termination of pregnancy after all the organs in the body has formed and everything has happened. So that is what we're discussing, and it's willful. Now, there are medical conditions, for instance, if a woman starts to bleed uncontrollably, okay, there are conditions where the woman starts to bleed. You're not going to say, and the woman is 8 weeks pregnant. Even in the most advanced countries, 8 weeks pregnancy will not survive. So doctors can perform a termination of pregnancy for that particular purpose because the woman is going to bleed to death. There are well-known indications, medical indications for termination of pregnancy if the mother's life is at stake. But for me, the discussion we're having today is about somebody who had sex for whatever reason, got pregnant, and does not want to keep the baby. So if that's what we're discussing, the discussion will become more streamlined. But somebody now saying birth control is termination of pregnancy, it's not related at all. Then finally, if we're discussing willful termination of pregnancy, not for medical indications, for other things, then, and she mentioned something about rape, my question will be, how do you know what that child or fetus is going to become? If that child were to be the president of the country, will you still terminate the pregnancy? The answer is no. Nobody knows what any child is going to become. And we have prominent Nigerians who have been born out of wedlock and rose to the highest rank in life. So you can never stay in this life and now know, oh, this person is going to be thrown away or whatever. The only reason you want to terminate the pregnancy is because you cannot tell the future. And Pastor has really said that God sees babies before they are even conceived. So I really don't, some of these reasons they give, I've been in my consulting room, people give a lot of reasons. And they can give women all kinds of reasons to justify their action. But for me, I think that if you have a medical reason why a pregnancy should be terminated, the mother's life should be saved. If there's no medical reason why they should be terminated, you better tell yourself the truth and decide what you want to do. Not you're trying to justify it by one means or the other. So that is it. But medically speaking, termination of pregnancy is entirely different from birth control. So that is.
Yeah, thank you very much for helping us get the difference between both of them. So my next question is this, from someone else who's saying that, all right, now after someone who has gone through the process of abortion and now the person discovering that, okay, this is a wrong thing to do, like terminating the life of a pregnancy without any medical reason backing up that, okay, this is a wrong thing to do, so, and the person is like having guilt and having bad thoughts and regrets about it. So the person here is saying, how can I experience healing and recovery after an abortion? That's the question. And I would like to hear Nurse Ella's view on that answer. What can she give to us concerning that? The person is saying, how can I experience healing and recovery after an abortion? Nocella, yeah.
Okay, I can hear you. Okay, so healing and recovery after an abortion. So if the person, depends, if the person is a Christian, you know, because not everyone is a professing Christian. So I'm a Christian, I can only speak from...
To mute his mind. Because I cannot really hear. Can we ask somebody to mute or probably... mute whoever is speaking. I'm not hearing what we're saying.
Okay, so like I was saying, I said, so personally, I'm going to be speaking from my own perspective, from a Christian perspective. So not everyone listening may be a Christian, but yeah, so if you're seeking, you know, healing and freedom from guilt, you know, after an abortion, I would say it helps to just run to God and not away from God, because from all that I've known about God and from what I know about God, God is, you know, in as much as we should not sin willfully and in as much as we should not, you know, test boundaries and, you know, do just what we have in our minds just because we know that God will forgive us, God is a father that always has his arms open, right? And yeah, so for me, the best way, you know, to gain healing, to gain, you know, freedom from that guilt and everything is just to drop that burden at, you know, the foot of the cross and just to drop it at Jesus's feet and then move on from there. Like, allow God to heal you, allow God to help you, allow God to, you know, chart the course of your life, you know, after that whole act or after the whole thing, you know. You know, I cannot really give any formula or any, you know, clear-cut method because we are all different and life is not one size fits all. What works for A will not work for B. And so this thing is, you know, it needs to be very individualized, you know, most of the time. So, yeah, I speak about God because I know that God is someone who is really, you know, he can get really personal with each one of us. And he's the one that knows best, you know, what we need at each point in time. And so, yeah, like I would say, you know, going back to God and just getting back to the presence of God and just, you know, asking for forgiveness, really dropping everything at his feet and just, you know, moving on from that point. That is what I would advise anybody that is, you know, at that stage of their lives to just do. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Like she said, everything, like, we take it back to God. Taking it back to God, because God is the only one who can actually help you to feel better about it. And it is something very individual. Something very individual. So, thank you very much, Nurse Ella. So that's all I have for our panelists tonight concerning this discussion, concerning the whole topic of abortion.
Amazing. Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Victor. And thank you for keeping to time. Okay, now we'll just have the floor open. I don't know if maybe Dr. Joe wants to contribute or Pastor Sam wants to contribute or anybody has a question that you want to ask, maybe outside of all that has been said. Maybe you just want to say something or you want to add something or you want to ask something still as regards this topic. That's what we'll just do in the next few minutes while we'll call it a wrap. Final words. Somebody said something as a perspective you still want to give light to.
Okay, I wanted to make a comment, but there is so much noise. I don't know whether it's only on my end. I don't know who the other person that is speaking is. Hello?
Can you still hear the noise? Is there still noise?
I'm hearing it. I'm hearing somebody. Some people are discussing at the background. I cannot hear what is being said.
Can you still hear the noise? Is there still noise? From my end, there is no noise, but I don't know what you can hear. I don't. Perhaps it's network.
Same with me. There is no noise on my end. So.
Okay, I think Dr. Dre is having network issues because I don't. Can we hear me? I cannot hear any noise. Though. Is there any noise at your end? Is there any noise at your end?
No noise at my end.
So I think it's Dr. Joe's network. Okay, I think the noise is coming from his end.
I think it was my network. I was hearing so many other voices. I was worried. Anyway, what I wanted to say is that I myself am a Christian and I believe in the laws of God. We human beings can sometimes fail. And if you fail, you should not justify your failure. You should get up and repent of it. People have, even my course of practice, I might have failed one or two times. The problem is when you fail, don't remain there, especially when you fail or break God's law. Don't remain there and then try to justify it and make it right. You can repent and say, Lord, I'm not that I didn't know, I knew. I was wrong, forgive me. Okay? For those of them that may be listening to me who have had occasional times where you had either encouraged or done by yourself, forgive yourself and just know that God will forgive you. Then medically speaking, if for any reason that you get pregnant and you're sick and you think the pregnancy may affect your health, there are many avenues to explore. Please always visit the specialist, the doctor who knows what he's doing to guide you. As for the laws, there are laws that guide termination of pregnancy in Nigeria. You know, and let me just state this for those that may not know. 14 years imprisonment is prescribed for people who, for the doctor who performed the surgery or performed the procedure. 7 years imprisonment is for the person that is doing the act. And another 3 years for whoever is supporting the act. That's the Nigerian legal system. Section 232, 233, and all of that of the criminal code prescribes termination of pregnancy. As for what is happening globally, people, because of some issues, are promoting termination of pregnancies. But it's alien to African, as an African society. Even though people do it, does not mean that we accept it. Then in the developed world, they are giving so many reasons why they want to terminate pregnancies. But somebody in the earlier one, I don't know that it was a post you read, talked about the mother's right to her health. And the question is, what about the child's right to his own life? Those questions will remain unanswered, and we must answer them for us to make progress. Then, in I'm a man of faith myself. I believe that no matter how hard the situation is, maybe the conditions of rape, by armed robbery, or by whatever attacks, always seek God's guidance. If you really are His child, He will speak to you. And God speaks through His word. And God has already said nobody should take anybody's life. You must not understand all the pathway yet, but you just need to obey sometimes. Actually, obedience is what makes you know, not that God knows that you are really His child. So the topic, and I also want to encourage the organizers to continue to talk about this topic. I don't believe that shying away from talking about it is going to solve it. I believe that we continue talking about it in churches, in everywhere, is going to help to enlighten people about issues of pregnancy and unwanted pregnancy and all of that. But I will always preach, like I did the research in the university, where we conducted a survey on university undergraduates and their sexual life and sexual health. We found that most university undergraduates were engaging in intercourse that was not protected intercourse. And most of them in my time, at that time, were Christians. So something was missing in our report. We found that most of these people go to church and most of them engage in unprotected intercourse at least once a week. So something is wrong with the way we are discussing it. Maybe we should look at how we discuss this topic. Not even that people understand that they are endangering your life. And once you have decided to engage in unprotected intercourse, one of the things that can result is pregnancy. But that's not even all. Other things can result from it. So, but for the purpose of this discussion, we're talking about abortion. If unwanted pregnancy is prevented, then there will not be this need to talk about termination of pregnancy. So my advice will be, let's continue the sensitization and enlightenment. And then when you must have sex, please protect yourself. And then when you have found yourself as someone who had terminated pregnancy, God does not reject anybody. Go back to Him and ask for forgiveness. I think with this point, I'll allow the next speaker to talk. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir. Pastor Sam, is there something you want to add? I don't know if maybe people online, anyone with a question too? Roy, do you have a question? Have you gained value? Who else? Narcissi.
I think Roy is raising his hand to speak.
Yes, Roy.
No, I don't have any question. I'm okay.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Narcissi.
No, I don't have questions.
Okay, amazing.
The question that I had actually is a part of what Victory already handled as people who have done it. So what's the place for restitution? So I don't know, Sir Pastor Sam, we still have a time giveaway we want to do. I think that's how we'll call it a wrap. But I don't know if Pastor Sam wants to say anything.
Okay. I just want to, you know, while Doc was talking, he mentioned about, you know, talking about someone recovering from an abortion, you know, I just want to read a scripture, you know, that will help, you know. He said, accept, the person should be able to accept forgiveness from God, because it's one thing to, you know, regret the action and to ask for forgiveness, but it's another thing to receive forgiveness. You know, in Psalm 103, verse 10 to 12, it says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You know, as the person should never allow the devil convince, you know, him or her that God can never forgive this one. You know, I just wanted to read that scripture. Then lastly, I also want to encourage our listeners, those that will listen to this podcast in future, you know, I really want to encourage everyone to allow the authoritative words of the scripture to mold our worldview. Whatever worldview we hold, you know, whenever it comes, it tries to clash with the scripture, that word, you should bow to the authority of God's word, because God is final. His word is final. I mean, if there is anything that the scripture upholds as a value, you know, we should throw down whatever sentiments, whatever thing we may think, you know, we want to suggest, or, you know, so long as the word of God, you know, counters that thought or that, you know, that ideology, we should allow the word of God to win. You know, that's my final word.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. All right, Victory, over to you. Please just do the call out for the networks, and then we'll call it.
All right, so I hope our network is good and we can hear. I'll be calling the first one, which is for the Glow users. Please, do we have Glow users in the house? Glow users.
Yes.
All right, then. All right, then.
I use Glow. I'm a Glow user.
Okay, so please be very attentive, because I'll be very fast.
Okay.
No, you're not. So please be very attentive. I'll be very fast.
Okay.
I start. 29785. 45123. 67040. 0. So who got it?
I don't know the local affinity. I did wait for that. God.
Please, anyone who gets it should identify.
Signify. I got it though. They said no recharge card was successful, but I don't see any amount.
Ha.
I saw glory was successful, but I didn't see any amount. You received 60 MB, so that's what I saw.
Just check your balance. Check your balance. I'll be using.
Hello.
Yeah, check your balance.
I don't even know how to check balance in close.
Somebody should please help him.
You actually got it. I think it's hash 124 hash for glow. Okay, let's just move on so we can conclude it. So we're already like 10 minutes beyond time. I think one last one and then we call it.
So we move on to MTN users. Please, any MTN user in the house, signify. Do we have MTN users?
Yes, we are here.
So there are people with the three. All right. So please be attentive. I'll be very fast with this one.
Okay.
8961-1186-8688. 14508.
I got it.
All right. Congrats.
Thank you very much. It's Roy.
Congrats. Okay, I will just end with prayers. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. You know the reason why you have made this a success. Whoever it is that needs to see this resource, Lord, we ask that you pull the right people, oh God, in the direction of these resources as soon as it lands online in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that our hearts are open and yielded to follow your path in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let life be transformed by the truth in the mighty name of Jesus. And as many persons, oh God, who have spoken, oh God, our resource persons, Lord, we ask, oh God, that you bless the work of their hands in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And that you put them, oh God, in nations, that let their voice, oh God, go out to nations in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That in eternity, this job that they have done today, Lord, it will count for them in future in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you because you are yourself, for in Jesus' wonderful name we have prayed with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Good day.
Bye.